Oh dear. The moment has come, as you said, as you sang, Lady, soon and very soon. I was told that this was a bit like making a speech at your wedding. Everybody's there to support you and wants you to do well, so I'm holding you to that promise. Massive thank you to the ladies. Haven't they been fantastic this morning? The beautiful singing voices, but the message is so clear. Also a massive thank you, personal thank you to Ruth Riley. I didn't know she was going to be reading for me, and that was an absolute privilege. I used to read for her, but it was in class. 30 years ago, Ruth, but I'm not counting. And also a lovely privilege to be amongst friends and family. Some have travelled a distance. Some have come from across the road. And some have come from Lisburn and Rathfryland. And I just think that that sort of really does say everything about what we're like here in Kilkeel, you know. We are very much amongst friends. And it has been 30 years since I really properly worshipped here. And 30 years ago, I did actually become a Christian. It was on my A-level results day, but nothing again to do with Ruth. I won't mention you much, Ruth, don't worry. But for me, it was almost a journey of working out what this whole God thing was like. And for so often, it was a theory and working out the details. You know, what you know. You sat there, I've sat there like you have many, many times, and eventually I realized that to get something personal out of this, I needed to put something personal in. And that's the day I became a Christian, on August 11th, 1988. And that's also probably the same time I got the voice that maybe some of you have never seen me have. You would have seen me sat around there doing children's church. You know, they're lovely, but we all come in our frocks. And I was always the quiet twin, honestly. And Jennifer's here, and I think when God puts something in your heart, he gives you a voice to proclaim it, and he gives you a boldness. And today I'm really counting on his courage, but also his leading. You'll see that from what we had Ruth mentioned, that the whole idea of the PW this year is about from Colossians 1:10. And you said it was live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And I just looked at that verse, and it continues to say, I'm growing in the knowledge of God. And I really do think that when you start to understand what this God thing is, he does add to you. He does bless you, because you start to really lean on the things that he offers. He gives you a strength that is not of your own. He sometimes gives you a wisdom that is beyond your years and your stage of life. And I love that about God, because he's a leveler. It's not about what you're wearing today or what you drove into the car park in. It's about your heart. And so I think what the PW really stands for is fantastic. It's about all of us being given this opportunity to come and draw close to him. Now, when Ruth read from Numbers, forgive me if you can't see it, but I'm going to just highlight the bit that I want to focus on. In the verses in the NIV, in verse 7 to 8, it says, Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the covenant law. The next day, Moses entered the tent and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the tribe of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. And I want to just give you the message today that might well be you. In fact, I hope it is. Because whenever we look at what happened in that time, we're told a number of things, and I want to just highlight a few of them. We're told that those 12 tribes had to put their staffs into the place of the Ark of the Covenant, because there were grumblings, because there was doubt about the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And so they were told, God told Moses, right, get the staffs in, and everybody put their name on it. You see, our God is personal. Our God knows our name. You have not been overlooked. He knows your name, and it tells us in the Word, he knows every hair on your head. And I like that, but I'm also a little bit frightened of it, because that means if he knows me, what am I doing in response? He knows my name. He knows everything I've done. And some of you don't even know that. But he knows everything, and he still loves me. So sometimes whenever we start to look and look at a calling and a leading in our life, and, you know, I believe it or not, and I know it amazes many, I'm a teacher of geography, Ruth. I love this lady because she inspired me to actually go out and do something. And she gave us the tools. I know Jennifer and many others, Lynn's up there, hello Lynn, have heard and been under her tutelage. And she gave us the tools. And then she said, right, out you go there. Go and use the things I've offered you and shared with you. And that's all of us can, that's all we can do. You know, and I think sometimes the calling on my life has sometimes been in doubt. Sometimes the way that I do things, the way that I lead, the way that I will preach, sometimes I have doubt. And I think what it tells us in this part of Numbers is that, okay, if you're in doubt, bring it to God. Bring it to the Lord, because ultimately what happened is that he proved that he actually had his hand on Aaron. I wonder if some of you are in that position where you've doubted the calling on your life. As a Christian of 30 years, I know I have. I know I did when I was sat there beside Ruth. But actually, I think what God is saying, that put me to the test. All right, put your name on this claim, and I am going to show you that actually I've got it right. I've led you from a time of tribulation, as he did with the Israelites, and I'm taking you to the promised land. And in the journey in between, trust me. Trust me. Also, he says, we need to be positioned in the presence of the Lord. Notice what he did with the staffs. They took them into the Holy of Holies, and they left them there. And I know that sometimes, you know, we struggle with stuff, don't we? We wonder why that's happened in our life, and maybe, you know, some bad things happen. But I think sometimes some of those bad things that happen are because I've made poor choices. I really have. And I think what I need to do, and it tells us in this book, is to come into the presence of God and be close to him. Bring myself into the Holy of Holies where I can really, really experience the atonement. That's a fancy word. I'm not a one for jargon. What do all these words mean? It means I have been saved. It means my past is dealt with and my future is secure. But I need to be in his presence. And when we're in his presence, and notice it was overnight, it was in a time of darkness. Sometimes these things are not done in the light of day. I could stand up here every week and you know, tell you stuff. But that doesn't make me a Christian. What makes me a Christian is a decision I made 30 years ago. That is what matters. Not what I dress in, not what I drive in, and not what I proclaim to be. It's really in those times of privacy that I stand on what I truly believe. You see, my faith is private. Today it's public. But really what happens is, in the heart of hearts, is when I truly come into relationship with Christ. And that has made all the difference. One of the other things I like is in God's word. And you might have been wondering, why would I have brought a reading from Numbers? You really need to look at it. It's not just a whole list of sort of specific details of how to wash and how to worship. But there's a tremendous amount in the Old Testament that sometimes we just let it go and we go to the New. The New is fantastic, but there's a lot of good stuff in the Old. And another part of 1 Chronicles, and it's also told again in Samuel. And forgive me that that's a very small amount of text, but I'm going to go back. It talks about when they move the Ark of the Covenant. I know you know the story, and if you don't know the story, you've seen the movie, the Lost Ark. You know what I'm talking about? The archaeologist with the brimmed hat. Yeah, and what happened whenever they found it? Remember that scene in it? It's quite graphic actually, when the Nazis pick it up and the skull is on fire, and it's all very nasty. You see, Raiders of the Lost Ark actually had something right. Because whenever they brought the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines, David didn't follow the law, the Levitical law. He didn't follow it. He was there, he was singing, and it looked like he was doing all the right stuff. But what did he do with the high standards of the Lord, which were meant to be held aloft? He put them on a cart. He put them on a cart. He didn't actually fully, really follow God's scripture. And what happened? It stumbled, and a man put his hand out, Uzzah, and he touched the cart, and he was killed instantly. And David got a bit frightened, and he said, I don't want this Ark of the Covenant. I'm not worthy of it. He realized he'd done wrong, and he took it into a gatekeeper's house called Obed-Edom. I'm going to call him Obed. And for 3 months, that man was blessed. He was blessed. And so much so that whenever David saw how he should have treated the Ark of the Covenant, the standards of Christ, the standards of God, he then realized what he'd done wrong. And 3 months afterwards, he then took that Ark into Jerusalem where it should have been all along. You see, I'm a big believer in second chances. I think I'm on 374 myself. And David was given a second chance. He did it wrong the first time. He treated this the place of God, the Holy of Holies, with contempt. He hadn't really raised it up as it should have been. And then he learned that he'd done it the wrong way, and he corrected himself. He brought himself back into that position as Obed had shown him, and he did it right. You see, maybe you need a second chance as well. Maybe you think you failed God, and let's be honest, we all have. But like David, maybe you need to be just corrected and say, look, Lord, I'm sorry. And come back and then once again do as he has taught you to do. Because I think some people actually treat this Christianity as though it's got a small c. I think some people treat it shallowly. And I'm not pointing the finger because the first finger is pointing back at myself. But I want us just to realize that, you know, our Bible, this holy book, is full of second chances. Full of second chances. So all we need to do is to position ourselves close to it, to learn its ways, and then to devote ourselves to living that out. One of the other things about Obed, amazing. Have you heard of him? Have you heard of Obed? No, not before today. Look him up. Do you know what he did right? He didn't just respect the Ark of the Covenant, but he actually chased after it, because in 3 months when David took it back, Obed followed. He followed it. He wasn't happy with just the memory of when he'd had it in his household. He wasn't happy with just the memory of those 3 months of blessing. That wasn't enough, because when you've tasted something good, you want more of it. And he chased after it. He was in the worship band because he was a Levite. He then became a gatekeeper. You see, whenever you have truly tasted this thing called a personal faith in Jesus Christ, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, can beat it. And too many of us, I think, are going on memories, distant memories. You know, I've sat here and had great times in this congregation. But remember that the whole story of manna, it's meant to be a daily thing. It's meant to be a daily thing where we feed on the richest blessings every day. So don't be satisfied with last week's blessings. As Joan very beautifully prayed, all those lovely blessings of thankfulness, make today a new day, because God has so much to offer you. So what else? The time was spent with the Lord when not seen by others. So as I say, what are you doing? What am I doing in those times when there's nobody around? We're given enough parables, aren't we, in the New Testament when they're in the temple and there's the high priest and the Pharisees all given at large, praying loudly and overtly, and then there's the little woman. Do you know, I think God likes a humble heart. Because again, I could stand here and say a lot of stuff, but unless it's really affecting my heart, then what worth is it? You know, every one of you sat here have got your own mission field. Every one of you. And all I'm really trying to do in my life is to do what I can in the field that he's put me in. I left Northern Ireland in 1992 after my degree at University of Ulster, and I was only going to go to Wales for 1 year. That was 26 years ago. And I'm stuck now. I married a Welshman, so hence the funny surname. You see, sometimes we're not really sure where that mission field is going to take us. And again, as Joan was praying, we've got so many people have come from this congregation and are out there making a difference. But you know, there's a mission field right here. You know, in your house, in your lounge, in your kitchen, in your church, in Asda's, in the Tam O'Shanter that Jennifer and I were in last night. There's a mission field wherever you are because you bring the presence of God with you. You should make a difference to the atmosphere that you're in. You know, we talk about thermostats and And really, what we're trying to do is we're trying to change the atmosphere, not be set by it. And I love that again, God enables me to do these things beyond my own strength and capability. Yeah, I'm a geography teacher. I stand up and do this sort of for a living. But I remember the little girl that I was. And many of you know that wee girl, that one who had a bit of a speech impediment. I've still got the wonky ears. Sorry. This is my McKee ear. You probably recognize it from Robbie. And this is my very sedate little Copeland ear from Mummy. All right, Jean? And you see, that little girl didn't have a boldness, didn't have a courage, and didn't have anything really that important to say. And so I didn't say anything. I didn't get up and speak the way that I've seen others do from this very pulpit. I didn't think I had anything that was really worth saying. And anywhere, there was always somebody else better who could do a much better job. And they did. You know, whenever we used to go to the youth meetings and you just think, oh, that's amazing, well done, but not for me. And then God had something rather different planned. And for a time, a bit like Jonah, I ran in the opposite direction until he caught me. And really, there was no denying that God had put something in me to be shared. And so I take the opportunities where I can, and sometimes I do okay, and sometimes I do dreadfully. But, you know, I think God does like a trier. And certainly his Holy Spirit enables me to do things that I never thought I could. You know, the whole theme is to grow and bear fruit. And if you look at what happened at the end of it, this is probably my favourite bit. They've taken the staffs in, all with names on. They've left them by the Ark of the Covenant overnight. And remember what Moses said, and the one that sprouts will be the one that's chosen. And then God does something extraordinary. If you remember, it didn't just sprout. It blossomed. And it didn't just blossom. It grew almonds. And actually, in some of the texts, it says they were ripe almonds. And I think some people in this congregation, in this town, and in this world, you're all at different levels of maturity and development. You know, there are some new Christians here, brand new. They've come through that sort of winter, that time of darkness, and they're about to bud. And that's a beautiful thing. In this season of spring, we start to see the lovely blossom as well, don't we? And some of you are in that stage where you've learned some stuff. You've dedicated yourself to being in God's presence. You know, dedicated your time to learning his word. Because, folks, I'm no theologian, as you can tell. I've done some little courses, but I'm just a teacher. I'm just a wee girl from Kilkeel. But I know that through God's mercy and grace, he's enabling me to do stuff. Only for his glory, though. And that's the way it should be. You see, your name has been put on that staff. And your staff has budded. Your staff. Not the person next to you that you think, oh, you must. I think she's talking to you. No, I am. I'm talking to every one of you. Your staff has budded. Some of you, your staff has blossomed. Some of you, your staff has grown almonds. And some more mature. I'm not looking at anybody. Or ripe almonds. And I don't think maybe you realise just how amazing you actually are. The ladies today, it's lovely to see you serve. And you do it so diligently. And you do it without a need of thanks. But, you know, we've a lot to celebrate here. You have been affirmed in your calling. You have spent time with God. And you have come through. And he has not just done what was asked, but he's gone beyond it. And I think sometimes we realize that whenever we read the New Testament, and Jesus did more than what we expected. Some of them thought he was going to come in and just bring liberation to the people. But he brought them more than liberation from the Romans. He brought them eternal life. You know, his death didn't just take away my sin and he took away your sin. He brought them also eternal life and left his spirit to enable us, as it says in Romans 8, to even with these utterances that I'm doing this morning, he can make sense of it because he knows my heart. I wonder if you really do understand what God has called you in. He's called you by name. He's called you to hear. Some other places, Rathfryland, as I say, in Lisburn. But he's called you. Not an accident. He doesn't make accidents. He's perfect. You see, you are all, this church, I believe, or encapsulated in what it says in Numbers. You are everything that he expect, that he wanted from this situation. Every single thing he's ever wanted, you are it, as Ruth prayed earlier. And I don't know if you really truly understand that. Sometimes we're too humble and mourn. Sometimes we just think, oh, it'll be somebody else who'll do it. No, as I say, he's called you. So what fruit are you going to bear? What fruit are you going to bear? How will people know that your life has been touched by Christ? Well, we know of the fruits of the Spirit. It tells us it in Galatians 5. And I know that every day when I come into God's presence and say, Lord, please, please, as I did this morning, please help me today. And in that day, he enables me to bring forth fruit in a miraculous way. He gives me patience when really I am running out of it. He gives me the ability to bring peace. He brings you the ability to be faithful. He brings you the ability to be joyful, even in times of mourning. You see, this Jesus guy, he changed my life. And I know he'll change yours, because whenever we all blossom, it's more than just a single bud. It's more than just a single tree. It's an orchard. It's a forest. And I think if we all do our very best to try and follow his word, and sometimes maybe learn from Obed, getting close to him, chase after him, keep his standards, but remember, he is a God of second chances. And those characters of the Old Testament, they do teach us a lot, but please don't forget the new. Where the Old Testament was all about ritual and law, and you have the Adamic covenant, and you have the Noahic covenant, and you have all of these lovely covenants. Do you know why they needed so many? Because they kept breaking them. Because they were human. And then you read about the new covenant, Hebrews. Jesus, the ultimate promise keeper. And he says to you and I today, if you want to grow and bear fruit, then come close to me. Be known by me. Be forgiven by me. And then go and make a difference in your mission field. So it's a privilege whenever we look at what the PW are doing diligently, growing and bearing fruit for decades. I thank you for the ministry that you have here, ladies and gentlemen, young and old, young in the faith and old in the faith. Makes no difference. Every one of us have been given the same chance. So I would say, draw close. And you never know what might happen. One day you might be here speaking to the rest of them. And actually, folks, it wasn't that bad. I thank you for the privilege of being able to bring God's word to this congregation and to this beautiful, gorgeous town that I call home. It's nice to be understood for a change. They all think I sound weird in Wales. But I want to just pray for us to dedicate the things that perhaps God has said into your heart. Because sometimes we need to seal these things and have time just to say, Lord, okay, I've heard something there. Maybe you haven't, and I'm sorry if you haven't, but if you have, I pray that God will just help you really develop it. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your plan for us is to bring blessing and for us to bear fruit and to show people of this world that you are real and that you are a God who is personal. We thank you, Lord, for the many people who have come to faith through what's been preached from this pulpit. We thank you, Lord, that your word, even though some parts have been written for over 2,000 years, we know that every time we delve into that treasure trove, that you will give us something that will speak to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, as a humble servant of yours and just a wee girl from Kilkeel, I pray, Lord, that you will bless these words. That you will bring a renewal to hearts that thought that their chances were gone. We pray, Lord, that we all draw closer to you. I thank you for the personal relationship that we can have, that our name was written on that cross when you died. That you know my name and every name in this building and beyond. And it's a personal relationship that I can have. It is not structured or set apart by sacred laws or sacred ways. It's all about relationship. And Father, I pray that every one of us take to our hearts what you want us to hear today. Different parts of what's been said or read or sung. Help us all to take those little kernels and to look after them and develop them and water them with your Spirit. And we will see fruit. So, Father, we ask that you bless this time and this word. And may you extend your kingdom and your people for your glory. Amen.